All right. Now let's turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and I want to begin at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel, Gabriel, was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man, betrothed, whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, you that are highly favored." Let's say it. I am highly favored. So once God favors you, that's different than forgiving you. To favor you means to give you something that not only you don't deserve, but something that favors you because you did believe on Him and you trusted that God was good and you understood that His thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace. They're always, you know, there's nothing negative or there's nothing where we're subject to some kind of devils or whatever. We are completely beloved of God and nobody can stop Him from loving us. Once God decides to love you, and He includes everybody, just like Christmas where we give presents to even to those that are naughty. We don't care if you're naughty and nice. Santa Claus may be exclusive, but not Jesus. So He gives to anybody and everybody, and that's a world changer. That is a world changer. Now, how did this all start? It all started before the foundation of the world, before there was an Adam and an Eve and so on. And therefore, 6,000 some years ago, God decided, I'm going to bring good news to the earth and I'm going to have my son will come down and show the world what I intended when I first created them. And then when they rebelled from me, when they fell into sin, I knew they would do that. When they did that, I already had Jesus in place. So how many know that before you sin and do evil and do wrong and are selfish and self-centered and so on and rebellious against God, God still is not, He's not at all unhappy. He wouldn't have created the world knowing that we would all eat of the tree and do everything else. He wouldn't have created it. He destined it. He gave it a destiny. Knowing that we would all sin and fall short of the glory of God. No problem at all. That just is a real humble thing to say, I am wicked beyond measure. Amen. Amen. Could I get anyone to say that?
I am wicked beyond measure.
Oh, how good. Yeah. God has never wanted you to clean up or fix or feel bad. He just wanted you to admit it. God, I confess that I am wicked beyond measure without you. But apart from you, I can do nothing, but in you, I can do all things. So the good news is, of course, God is for you. He will pay for it Himself. If you owe something, He'll pay. Even though it's owed to Him, He'll pay for it Himself on your behalf. And so the good news of Jesus Christ, His Son, Son of God, and Son of Man, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, is that on Christmas, some 4,000 years into the world, that was 2,000 years ago, came after something 2,000 years earlier. So 2,000 years into the world, Abraham's covenant, which is written right here, it's got seven different promises to it. This covenant that He established with Abraham, and that's why He's called the son of Abraham, because Abraham was the father of faith. And Jesus then completed what Abraham was promised. So a promise that took 2,000 years. That 2,000-year promise then was fulfilled in Jesus. Now, that was His part. Now it's your part. So 2,000 years later, the Holy Spirit is still seeking to have people, us, the Holy Spirit's the one that of the Godhead, He's not the one that made you, that's the Father. He's not the one that redeemed you, that's the Son. But he is the one that through his power indwelling you, because you were forgiven by Jesus, and therefore you can still, now you're able again because of his power to do the will of God just as he originally created you. So that covenant that was made with Abraham needed blood to confirm it. And so Jesus, 2,000 years later, which was 2,000 years ago, now we're 6,000 years from the creation, Jesus then fulfilled that, finished that promise, that oath that God took. Now the word Elizabeth means that God, in the house of God, Beit, Elizabeth, B-E-I-T in Hebrew, that means house of. And then El, E-L, that's the first part of Elizabeth, Elizabeth. House of God, God swore an oath. He made a promise. And that swearing of the oath took place in his house. That's why Jesus came to build the house. And here it is. You're the house. You're the house. You're the house. He's not asking you to build the house. You're the house he's building. Because God, remember, he told Abraham, now I want you to sacrifice your son to show that you love me and trust me and so on. And in the New Testament, we read that he knew that if he did, God would raise him up again because the Messiah was supposed to come through him 2,000 years later. And when he saw that, he said, whoa, whoa, stop, 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 stop. I don't want you to kill your son. I just want you to make sure that you trust me that whenever I tell you something, it's good. And you believe that if you had killed your own son, which I don't want, but if you had done it, I would have raised him up again, which is true, but I can't have your son die because it won't count. Your son is not perfect. Your son Isaac is sinful. How many know that all have sinned? So your son, you're a sinner, and then you have your sinful son, and then you're going to do it for sinful Barbara and so on. That's not going to work. So I want my son, Jesus Christ, to come down from heaven and give a free gift to everybody because it doesn't cost anything. You don't do anything. To keep my promise to Abraham that I would have a man on earth that would redeem the whole earth, everybody who wants to. But I don't force anybody. So everybody who wants to, you want to have happiness on earth, you want to have happiness forever and ever, I give you that for free because that's my heart. So God was revealing his true self, not the one that gave you the law under Moses, but the one that gave you the gospel through Jesus Christ, the Son. So he never wants you to labor or work, and some of you are doing really good at that, not laboring and not working. He never offered this to a self-righteous person, but only to people that are sinful and wicked. Now, forget who's who, because only God knows, because he's the only one that can judge the heart. But if you're self-righteous, that means you think you are righteous or that you could do good or that you could do some kind of work or sacrifice or something that would please God, you're wrong. You cannot do that. Because only God is good. That means no one else is good. None else is good but God. So since that's true, even at your best state, you're worth nothing. At your best state, that's when you're moral and you're nice and you're kind and you're more compassionate than Pastor Jim or something like that. It won't count. You're as wicked and as bad as I am. Isn't that sad? But you're actually as bad as I am. Isn't that amazing? But I enjoy it. I enjoy being wicked and as bad as everybody else. I think it's great. Can have a church out of anybody. Could have anybody could join us. Isn't that amazing? That we don't look down on and despise anybody because all have sinned and fallen short. But Jesus, who never did sin, came down, showed us what he originally wanted us to be, and all we can do is confess, yeah, we did wrong. We didn't do it. Everything he said to do, we didn't do it. Everything he said not to do, we did it. And so God doesn't care. That's fine. That's fine. Because I wanted you. I wanted you to acknowledge your sin so I could come and forgive you. The minute you acknowledge, the minute you confess your sin, I immediately forgive you. The only thing that I don't want you to do is say, well, I'm not sure I did wrong. No, you did. Well, I know, but I tried my best. No, you didn't. You lied. You know, you're a liar. So don't keep adding to it, because I've already forgiven all sin. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a hypocrite, really. It's just that I can't talk to you because you think you're good when you know you're not. Now, if you're a hypocrite and you know you're evil and you're just actually fooling everybody and deceiving everybody, you're all right. Bill, I don't know. I just picked you out. But you don't have to. You don't have to lie to God. You can just tell the whole truth. Now, don't tell it to people, because people don't like to hear that, especially church people, because church people are prone. They're leaning toward pretending like they're good. At least going to church was better than staying home and sleeping. And so people are tempted to think there are good things you can do and bad things you can do. The answer is you're wrong. The answer is there's nothing good you can do, and there's nothing evil that you can do. Everything you do is evil, apart from Him. But in Him, everything you do is good. That's amazing. That's amazing. So God has a tricky way of thinking that we don't think like. In other words, when I think something is good, that shows how evil I am. Whereas if I do something evil and I admit it, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, even though it was wrong. Now, I want you to know, this is not so weird as you think. Little kids are like that. A little kid will attempt to lie, but sometimes they don't. And if you say, "Did you hit your sister?" "Yes, ma'am." Now, very few kids do this, by the way. But they know when they confess a sin, it's not fake. Because when they confess it, they're just going, "Yeah, it was bad." And they'll usually look down like that. "Oh, it was bad." Did you hit her on purpose? That's usually the way they do it. They don't like to say yes. They usually, because that shows too much vigor in it. You know, so they like to say a little bit of sadness there, which is completely lying and phony and fake. But anyway, the fact that we're sinners, we have the only God in the universe that loves sinners. Because He's the only God in the universe. All the other gods are no gods at all. They're all behavioral modification gods. They all want you to behave yourself so you can earn something and get a payment. God will never pay a payment to anybody. Never. He does everything free. Everything is a free gift. With God, it's Christmas all the time. Every gift you didn't deserve. And in fact, He only offers it to sinners who repent. Sinners who repent, meaning, I did wrong. That's all. And the reason you repent, the only reason you repent, you wouldn't repent otherwise, is because you know God's going to forgive you. So there's no point in repenting if you don't think God is good. I'll tell you, nobody would thank God. Nobody would worship God. Nobody would praise God. No one would love God except that He's a merciful, kind, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's just the best, best, best. So ours is the real God. Now, the problem is some of you are hiding that. Start pretending like, God isn't your whole life. But once you go with God, it's black and white. All the way for God, period. You trust Him for everything. Thank Him at all times. Praise Him at all times. Worship Him at all times. And say it out loud. Don't think it. Say it out loud. "God, You're the best. I'm the worst." Good combination. How many know that God only wants wicked people who have sinned against Him, rebelled against Him, turned against Him, been selfish, did everything He said not to do, did nothing that He said to do? That's the kind He's looking for. And how many know there's a few of them? We have right in this church, we have almost 100% of wicked people. I'm looking around to check, see what we've got. So God does not want nice people. He is the only God that actually can forgive a not nice person and then actually to cause them to become nice. He has all the power to do it. And He wants to do it. That's His desire. Now, have I made it too good? Have I overdone it? Probably. But it's just a sin. If I made it too good, Judy, it's okay. But I don't think so. I don't think you can even imagine how good our God is. And once you have a revelation of that, once you see it, and it just dawns on you, just all of a sudden opens up, you're set free forever. You're set free forever. Is, you know what? I don't have any fear anymore. Perfect love, His, casts out fear, all fear, yours. So once you have that, and you don't have to feel it, by the way, you don't have to understand it even, just say it. I know that I'm not afraid anymore because God's perfect love has forgiven me. Boom, that's all. Just say it. Don't worry about feeling it. Oh, I had a rhema on that. You don't need a rhema on that. If you get one, that's fine. But it doesn't change anything. The rhema does not change that. It's just that you just sense that, wow, this is so wonderful. And it'll put a smile on your face. So rhemas are good, but the truth is, it's just what's in the Bible. And even if I don't feel it, understand it, or want it, it still is better to have good things than bad things. I think everyone would agree to that. That when things come to you that you don't deserve, she that hath been forgiven much loveth much. I don't know. It's just wonderful when you get something you don't deserve. So that's why Christmas is such a favorite holiday. The resurrection on Easter is good, but it doesn't seem to be as happy as I don't think people are as happy as when they're getting real presents. I mean the real presence, the presence of God. I don't know if I explained that. But the reason He died was so that we wouldn't have to. And the reason He died was so that He could resurrect inside your heart so that you could receive His gifts every day. Every blessing in heavenly places for you. All right. Elizabeth, then, is meaning God swears, okay, in His house. So when God swears in His house, you're the house. You're the house. So His promises are for you. He swears an oath. The thing I promised, I swear it'll come to pass. And not only that, now am I for you, I'm going to work it in you, and then I'm going to work it through you. You don't have to do any work. You don't have to do a thing. Just relax. Just rest. Enter into my perfect Sabbath, Shabbat Shalom. I want you to enter into it. Stop laboring. Stop working. Stop pleasing me. Don't please me. I want to pay for you. I want to have it prepaid. Prepaid. It's all paid. Just go free. How many know that when you manumit a slave, this is the true meaning of the word in the Bible, not in human history. When you manumit a slave, you not only come to them and tell them you're free with words, but you actually then give them a certificate, emancipation paper, that says, if you meet this slave somewhere, don't bring them back because I've set them free forever. Then you write master down or whatever. I once owned this person, but now he's free forever and can never be owned again except under his own voluntary, if he wants to do it, he can do it. I mean, you know, you can be a fool freely. I mean, you can be good for nothing, I mean, if you want to. But once God sets you free, you are free forever. And it's good to stay that way. So, but not only does he give you that piece of paper, not only does he tell you that, but he also then gives you money, a payment, gifts, so that you have all the gold of Egypt. You know, whatever. When you leave, you have to have enough money to supply you for the journey that it takes to leave him and reestablish yourself somewhere. That is true manumission. We didn't do it. We didn't do that. As a matter of fact, we set people free with words, but then there was no follow-up. So the Civil War really didn't solve the problem, and it's still with us to this day. And, freedom has to start with Jesus Christ first in your heart. Otherwise, physical freedom will bring you back into bondage. I don't care how free you get, it's not going to work. But God, when He sets you free, it's not only that. With Christ Jesus, He freely gives you all things. As a matter of fact, you could stay right on the plantation, take a part of the property, and marry the boss's daughter, period, because you're now the boss. That's real freedom. That's what Jesus Christ does. You are no longer part of this world. You are no longer part of slavery. You are set free forever. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I mean, really, really free indeed. So all of you have been set free from your sins because of the blood of Jesus. The master paid for it. The master is the one that supplied everything. He sent his son, and the son said, not only that, not only do I want to set you free, I want to marry you. That is even more amazing that he wants to marry me and then give me the entire inheritance. instead of somebody dominating me, now he wants me to be a servant for everybody else, just like he served me. Now he wants me to serve others. And go and tell everybody, hey, you're free. You're free. It's been paid for. No, you don't have to take it. You don't have to take it. It's free. It's just free. If you want it, you can take it. You can be happy. So Paul, from now on, you can be happy for the rest of your days. So it'd be good if you'd tell everybody that.
I can be happy the rest of my days.
Amen. That's good. Daddy, you could be free for the rest of your life.
I'm free for the rest of my life.
Amen. Amen. Betsy, you could be free for the rest of your days.
I'm free for the rest of my days.
Yahoo! Yeah. And by saying it, we're confessing it.
Amen.
We're confessing that, and that actually then is what he counts as righteous. When you do that, when you confess your sin and your righteousness. Did you sin? Yes. Is that why you were a slave? Yes. But I'm no longer a slave of sin, of death, sin and death. I'm no longer under that law. I'm no longer under the master, the evil master, the taskmaster master. I'm no longer under his law. I got another husband. I got a better husband. And I don't want to ever again be under any man's jurisdiction, ownership. You know, I don't want to be under somebody's law. I want to be under God's law. Why? I like God better. He's a better husband. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when you get married, it's good if you're already free before you get married. Amen. And already happy. And already, you know, great sense of humor, lots of mercy, and, you know, don't have to prove that you're in control or you're a dominant person or, you know, everything is in order or whatever, because it's a mess. And God will not answer all your prayers. It's, God, could you please fix my husband? He won't answer that prayer. He'll leave that bum just the way he is. How many know that men are unreliable? I mean, that's just ordinary. That is so ordinary. I know there's a few exceptions. You're an exception, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. She laughed. He didn't. He But he is red. He is red in the face, I'll tell you that. God doesn't want you to do anything but be happy. Your happiness. Trust in the Lord. Happy is the man, the woman, that trusts in the Lord. That's it. There's happiness. You can't get it any other way. It's only God's goodness that brings me happiness. If God wasn't good, I wouldn't follow him. I wouldn't. If God was a devil, I couldn't follow him. How could I be thankful or grateful or want to marry him? I'm not going to do it. But God is not only good, he's always good, and he wants to give you everything he has and more than you even can imagine. And especially when you don't deserve it. Especially when you don't deserve it. He's looking for people that are sinners. And fortunately, there's a few. I think we have a lot more than some of the other churches. We do. Thank God. Thank God. I mean, I just love it. Bobby, thank you for being here. There is a sinful man right there, Bobby. But you know what? We get them all. And I like that. I love sinners. They're better than the self-righteous. Because you can't teach a self-righteous person. You can't talk to them. Because if you say you've done wrong, they'll defend themselves. Not only that, they'll attack you. Not only that, they'll probably preempt you before you say a thing. You know. And so, how many know that we're living among saints who still sin? We're all saints by faith, but we still sin because we aren't yet perfected. The Holy Spirit has not perfected his love in anybody, unless you're a pastor. That's the only exception. I'm fine. Because if you become a minister, you're all right. But none of us. All have sinned and fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short. So the glory of God is for God that he can take a sinner who turned against him, rebelled from him, did everything he said not to do, did nothing that he said to do, And then for him to say, I'll make a promise. I'll tell you what, I'll make a promise because I know everything. I'm gonna perfect you. I'm going to forgive you, then I'm going to perfect you, then we're going to marry you, then I'm going to give you my inheritance, and forever and ever, for all eternity, you'll never again, ever again, have to suffer loss. That'd be a good deal. And it could start today. It could start today. Those three that just spoke, it could be four. It could be Jackie. It could be you. I can see you there hiding. So Jackie could be happy from this moment on. Are you happy now? Good. Are you going to stay that way? I know Joyce is happy because she said something today about, I don't know, wretched or something. I forget what she said. Whatever it was good. I could identify with it. So I thank God that we have the only religion in the world that works. The others are just pure nothing, pure lying. They're just pure theory that man could behave himself. If you ever did anything good, it wouldn't be you. Would be Christ in you. Jesus said, the work that I do that you're commending me for, I didn't do it. The Father who dwells in me doeth the work. I didn't do it. I was his servant. I just did whatever the Father said, I said. Whatever he did, I did. Whatever he wanted, I wanted. And that's all. So he never did a work. Jesus never did any work, never labored. The minute he became a servant of God, Son of Man, came down and had a trust on him. This was not when he was in heaven, but when he was sent to earth on a trust, on a mission, on a purpose that God had, he was no longer Jesus. He was now not Son of God, but he was Son of God in the form of a servant. And any God like God, our God, he can become a servant if he wants to. Why? Because that's who he is. Did you know that God's a servant? Even though he's the master? But he also is the servant freely, without any law making him do it. He just wants to do it. Why does God want to love us? Especially certain people. You know who I mean. There are certain people that are not lovable. Amen. Right? See, Larry knows. There are certain people that are not lovable. But God disagrees. God loves everybody. Without any, what he calls, respect of person. Doesn't care who you are. Doesn't care how bad you are. How evil and wicked you are. He counts us all equally guilty. Because there's no one ever who has done everything God said or wanted the way exactly he wanted it. So this story of Zacharias, which means that name is God who has a name of renown. In other words, God who has a reputation, who's known everywhere. That's what Zacharias means. And so Elizabeth means that same God of Zacharias is also then the one who swore an oath to Abraham through Jesus Christ, David and everybody, coming down to us. And now that's done. That was done 2,000 years ago, so it's no longer needing to be confirmed. The only thing left, there is something left. The only thing left is not for you to help out, not for you to cooperate, not for you to, do something. Don't do anything. It's all been done. Our worship is because there's nothing left that he hasn't done. This is God's glory. God's glory is not that you behave. God's glory is not even that you believe. God's glory is that he never lied to you about who he was. And he always wanted you to know, I love you. I will never change. I was the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm never going to ever hold anything against you. And if you have sinned, I'll forgive it. I'll pay for it. I want to make what you owe me, I want to make a total forgiveness of that debt. I want to make the atonement. You owe me something, because if you're born, if you're just born naturally, you owe God. You need to worship God with all your heart and soul and strength, your neighbor as yourself, and also submit to government and so on and so forth, and give them whatever they're supposed to get, no more, no less. Okay, all of those duties God will just say, well, even though you owe me it and you never did it, I'm going to forgive you anyway. And the reason you didn't obey the government is not because they were wicked, which they are, but that's not why you didn't obey. The reason you didn't obey is because you didn't trust God, because he told you to obey. Submit to them, but only fear, honor, taxes, and tribute. Only that. Nothing more. So give him what he's due. That's all. Don't give him more. What's more? What you owe me. Pay me off first. You know, so render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but unto God what belongs to God. There's the problem. There's the rub. There's the problem right there. Israel was under Roman dominion because Israel was not right with God. And had she been, Rome would be gone. All our problems, economic, social, political, all our problems, religious, all our problems are due to the fact that we didn't worship and serve our neighbor and do what God said. So God has promised, sworn an oath, that I will come back, but I'm coming back to a bride without any spot, without any wrinkle, without any stain, without any blemish. I'm not coming back for a harlot. I'm not coming back for one spot. I don't want any spots on y'all. How many know you're probably not ready right now? You're probably not ready. How many have at least a spot? Could be a teeny weeny one, but that's enough. He'll see it right away. Right away he could see that. Because what's a spot? It's a sin that wasn't covered by the blood. It's a sin that wasn't, because the blood actually removes that spot. Spot remover. Right like that. And then all the pressure of the Holy Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit and fire, all that pressure is iron out all your wrinkles. Put a little pressure on you. You know, you just feel like, hey, there's nothing but pure white there. Because God knows how to squeeze you like that. He knows how to pressure you. He knows how to lay a thing on you and it's all done in love, is to get rid of all your sin. Because he can't take you home if you have one sin. You won't qualify. How many know that if he came today, not everybody in this church would make it? How many know that? Because you have to be perfect. He's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, and such. Well, Pastor, I believe it by faith. That's good. That's good. I love that answer. But you're wrong. Sorry. You can't have a faith that's dead. You have to have a faith that's living. And of course, only God knows whether your faith was going to produce someday. So he's not talking about superficial behavior. He's talking about deep in the heart. So is your heart full of faith? That's good. But that's only the beginning. He now wants that heart to spill into the soul so that your soul is also pure and perfect and without spot. And then your body so that it's also pure and holy and without spot. Only God can do that. How many know that you can't do that? You cannot do that. You cannot do that. You can't get rid of one sin in your life. Don't answer this question. It's rhetorical. But how many have a little bit of fear in your life? Every once in a while you get kind of scared. Well, that's enough to keep you out. God doesn't want any fear. His perfect love casts out all fear. Apparently, the reason you have fear is because you don't know that God perfectly loves you and you don't trust him on a daily, continual, constant basis. So God is waiting at the phone up there. He's got a red phone and he's waiting for someone to call him. Pastor Jim, is this you again? Yes, sir. I always call. I need you again. He loves that because nobody else is calling him. You know, because I'm happy to confess all my sins. And Jesus, I think I'm perfect, but if I'm not, could you show me any sin that's left? Let's get it done before Debbie catches me. And so, you know, we want to get rid of all of our sin on a daily basis. I die daily. That means you give up leaning to your own understanding. You give up thinking you know what's right and can do what's right and would want it and so on and so forth. You're just lying. Don't say that. Don't say that. You can't fool God. So just simply say, Lord, I know I've got hidden sins. I don't even know what they are. But I'm sure you'll get to them sooner or later because I'm totally open to it. Any sin in me, I don't want it. Because how can I be a good husband for Peggy? How can I be a good pastor for the church and so on and so forth? If I even have one sin, I don't want any. I don't want any. So I'm putting them all under the blood, which then, as soon as the blood forgives me, then nothing stops me from getting the Holy Spirit, which can then enable me to do. I want to do it now. And then he's in me to will. But he's also in me to do. So then, through the presence of God, he actually changes me. So the blood doesn't change me. The blood forgives me as I am, without change. But then, the Spirit of God, I can get that through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, now that you've forgiven all my sin, then don't withhold the Holy Spirit. I need him. I need him. I need him in my soul. And then he wills to do the will of God, and I find myself willing to do the will of God. And then pretty soon, I find myself doing the will of God. And oh, that was the power of the Spirit, because in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasures evermore. Did you know that people that are happy don't sin? The only reason you sin is because you're a little bit unhappy. Like, well, I had to take that because I needed that. You know, whatever. You don't need anything. How many know that when you get Christ Jesus, you get everything? Amen. You get everything. I don't even want to see it. I don't even need to see it. I don't even have to see a miracle every day. I don't need to. But I see them. But I don't need them. But I believe them. I believe them before I see them. If you believe before you see, that I tell you, that is powerful. Blessed are those that without seeing, yet they believe. How many know that we're going to have some troubles? The troubles are coming. They've already started. But anyway, it's going to get even worse. It's going to get worse. Aren't you excited? How many are excited about it getting worse? You know, whatever it takes. Isn't that our prayer? I tell you, when you meet the one you love, who loves you, oh, I tell you, you don't care. Perfect love, his perfect love. I tell you, it'll take away all your fears about anything in this world. I just trust God. I don't care what he puts me through. I know it's for my good. I just trust him. Why? It says so in the book. Whatever is sitting, and if it's written in the book, I believe it. All I have to do is see what it says. So if it says I'm a new creation, I am. The fact that my behavior belies that is irrelevant to me. You know, just people could say, well, Pastor, if you're a new creation, I'd hate to see what you used to be. You know, it's like, I don't really care because I am a new creation. Why? Because of Jesus, and he is my life, and he's living inside of me. And there you cannot see him. You can't see him. Now, you can see through some of my deeds, but not very many of them. Right? So I never even look. I don't even bother. Someone says, you have a sin. Which one? It's like, I got so many. Well, maybe that happened because you've been sinning. Yeah, that's like shooting fish in a, you know, aquarium or something. It's kind of easy to see our sinfulness. How many know that you're sometimes cold when you read the Bible? Sometimes when you love somebody, you're a hypocrite. Sometimes, you know, on and on, on. So how many know that there is no person in our church that's perfect? I don't know about Methodists. Maybe they found the method. I don't know. But I know in our church, we have 100% sinners. Amen? I'm confident of that. I'm very confident that you're one of them.
Amen.
Yeah? See? Praise God. It's good. Let me see who else. Let's see.
Absolutely.
It's good. Now, these two, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were well stricken in age. Don't you love that? We don't usually say that. We just usually say you're getting older. I think the Bible is more graphic. Well stricken in age. You know, way beyond any fruitfulness. You know, there's no hope here. Now, here they are, and they were called righteous, amemptos. In other words, they outwardly did everything you're supposed to do, legalistic. They just outwardly did whatever the law said. They had the fear of God. They did it. So they were two righteous people, but she was barren. So you can be righteous and barren. Did you hear what I just said? Now, I'm not talking just physically. She was physical. I'm talking spiritually. You can have not all the fruit you should be having. It's probably your pastor's fault. Amen? You want a pastor that can speak the truth, and then, you know, he'll pay the price. That's what you want. Not make you pay, but most pastors like to have power and ego and so on and so forth to get them. I don't want that. I'll pay. If something's wrong, I'm going to take the blame. I didn't fast enough. I didn't pray enough. I didn't study enough. I didn't, you know, fast enough. Whatever it is, I'm not going to blame you. I'm not going to. I won't. Why? Because God never blamed me. He took it under and he said, you know, I want you to be like I am. So I want you to follow. When I say something, you say it. When I do something, you do it. And so on and so forth. So God wants you to relax. Do you know that's a prayer? When you pray like that, when you pray just like, he hears it. Those are called sighs too deep for words. And that's a prayer to God. He hears that. You're tired. Have you been working? Have you been laboring? Don't. That's just a free gift. It's Christmas time. It's happy. I want everyone happy. So God likes everybody in the family. You remember how little kids are? They open the present. Peggy and I have a different approach to this. But they open the present. I only want them to have one that'll endure forever, so it's made out of wood or something, you know, just last. But Peggy wants them to have hundreds, you know, all kinds of them. She just keep, Peg, what are you doing? Oh, they need some more. This one I gave 17 to this one. I have to give 7. You know, see, just the more you get, the more money you've spent, the more love you must have or something. But I tell you, when a little kid opens that present and they go like that, their just eyes are so excited. Oh, I love that. It makes everything worth it, right? They don't have to be good. They don't have to do anything. They just have to appreciate it and enjoy it. And you know, sometimes they get it mixed up who gave it to them. Thank you, Mommy or Daddy. And he said, you know, let's say it was Peggy buys everything. I don't even buy anything. I have no idea what I got. But it had my name on the label. So thank you, Pastor, you know, Grandpa Jim or something like this. But I don't even know what I gave. What did I give you? And so it's exciting. So you get, you know, you don't know. But little kids are so excited because they don't have another agenda except take. Enjoy. Mine. You know, and then they want another one. And they could be stepping on the first one they got and breaking it. They don't care. Just get this other one right here. But when they just smile like that, it's so amazing. And even if they're lying just so they can get more. It's okay. Because God says if you give, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more. Because you see the face on somebody who's gotten something they don't deserve or something that they really wanted badly, and you found out. Peggy's always, you know, certain that I just go into the first store, and I'm going to do it probably a day before Christmas or something, and the lady on the floor will say she needs this vacuum cleaner or something, and she doesn't, but the lady sold it to me quickly. I say, well, what do you have, you know? I don't really want to think and walk around and so on. So just, what is it? She will love this. I say she's about this tall. And she's, this, you know, and so she'll love this. And I bring it home and she has to, you know, find out what it costs and where she bought it. So she trade it in. If you really cared, you would have listened to, you know, figured out, should have prayed more. And so, but I always say it's the thought that counts. I got you something, knowing you're going to trade it in anyway. So. You know I don't like green. I didn't know. You don't pay any attention. Now, God loves us just the way we are. So the good news is this. There is no bad news. There isn't any. Satan, he'll get bad news, but that was his own choice. He voluntarily chose up in heaven to rebel against God. Not a good choice. Made a bad choice. Because God, you can't get gooder than God, better than God, nicer, smarter, stronger than God. He's got everything and has everything. So in the 6th month, when Elizabeth was pregnant now, 6 months, she hid herself for 5 months. You remember that? And then in that 6th month, it was too hard to hide it anymore. And people began to notice, you know, you're not having a baby, are you? You're well stricken in old age. Yeah, you shouldn't be, no. But anyway, so then in the sixth month, when it was clear, and she must have been nervous herself because she'd always wanted a child, but she was barren, righteous but barren. That's us. Are we not righteous but barren? We don't have all the fruit we should have had, could have had, might have had. And we wonder, God, why don't you do something? And he's just like, relax, it's okay, it's okay. Just keep confessing your sin. How many know you always can come up with one? If you ask that prayer, God, if there be any wicked way in me, please reveal it today. I mean it. Don't hold back. Show me how wicked I am. I tell you, God would answer that prayer right away. You know, that's what he's loving, that prayer. Thank you for praying that prayer. Because he's ready always through the Holy Spirit to show you what's not perfect. In other words, if it wasn't born of God, it's not perfect. If God didn't do it, it's not perfect. If it was man-made, man-touched, man somehow got something, you know, the wrapping or something, it's not right. But anyway, so God wants to give you everything and hold back nothing. That is a God. That is a real God. That's the God we have. So Elizabeth finally had the baby, and then Mary was told by the angel Gabriel, I just talked to her 6 months ago, and she's already now in her sixth month, tells her the right month it is. 6 months. Wow. That's getting to the point where you can't travel. But Mary, when she has her baby, she'll be traveling in the last month. You're not supposed to travel in the seventh or eighth or ninth month. But she's going to have to do it. Do you think God can keep that baby alive? Yeah. Imagine riding on a donkey, you know, the whole way. Are we almost there? Yes, it's only about 400,000 miles yet. You know, we're almost there. We're going to make it to Bethlehem. And so when she gets there, immediately the greeting is given and the baby in her womb jumps, John the Baptist. And so 6 months, John the Baptist is already a person, obviously. He's a male and so on and so forth. It's all known. Because from the moment you're conceived, you're already a person with the signature of God on you that says, this is my child. So you can't just do anything you want because it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to the mother. It's not her choice. Those are lies from hell. That child belongs to the living God. And we know that from almost the moment that they're born, they already have all kinds of, or conceived, they already have all kinds of things that are happening to them. They're amazing. There are certain things that are going to wait later, but much of it, like teeth or something, but much of it comes, you know, right away. And so God has designed us in such a way that we're his from the beginning because he knew we would be born and we'd have a name. We'd get your own name. You get your own distinct name. Could have the same last name, but you got to have your own original first name. Why is that? Because God loves every single individual person. Because we were made Betzalemnu Kedemutnu, in the image, according to the likeness of God, so that we can talk like him, walk like him, act like him, copy him. That is, you could be a steward of him, having stewardship over this earth, just like God would do. Now, he made you for that. We haven't done it, but he made you for that. Now, he can remake you if you've lost it, as Adam and Eve did. They lost it. But now, through Jesus Christ, you get your image back when you're born again, and then you get the likeness back through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives you back the likeness. So now you're able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the capacity now to actually please God for the first time, which Adam and Eve could no longer do. God doesn't want you to go back to where they were. He wants you to go forward to a new creation, unlike the old, totally. This thing is so good news that somebody should stand up on their pew right now and just say, hallelujah. It's powerful. Amen. David, I love it. Amen. Praise God. It's too good news. And that's only the beginning. There's more and there's more, just like Peggy, giving you more gifts and more gifts and more gifts till you're satiated and you've stepped on everything and you've broken everything. And she's got more. I love it. I love it. Peggy is such a rebel. I tell her, Paige, just get one gift that'll last for generations. They can hand it down to their kids. But no, she has to get them all, everything that their hearts desire. Because she wants her grandkids to love her. Amen. That's good. Well, you know what? God's already given the greatest gift. Amen. What happened? He said, you know, Mary, this was the angel that spoke to her. You've been highly favored. You've been highly favored. And the favor of God is something you can't earn. The favor of God just comes. It's free. Not only that, you're going to have a son. His name is going to be called Yeshua, the Savior. But not only that, he will not just be Yeshua, the Forgiver, the Savior, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is going to be the Lamb of God that takes away, not just forgives, the sins of the world. Of the world. In other words, nobody's sin is held against them at this day. That new creation has already begun, and we're the first fruits, not the last. We're the first fruits of that which is to come. We are the first group right now that when he comes back, he'll have a bride without spot, wrinkle, any such thing. And then you will not have to go through all those kinds of things that other people may go through because you're already the first fruits. And since because of your faith, which is active in love, you've already done it, you may not go through the tribulation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He may provide a refuge for those that are ready. What about those that are not ready? Well, then they're going to have a different deal. They will not get to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They may be virgin. They may be believers. But they never went all the way because they didn't want God to, and he won't go against your will. If you want something more than God, or you just want to be saved but not sanctified, or you want to be sanctified but not glorified, well, then you're not going to help anybody else to get in. You're not going to be ready when he comes. Do you all understand what I just said? So you have to be justified, then sanctified, then glorified, outer court, holy place, holy of holies. You got to have all of it to be ready. Can you do it? No, you can't do it. But you can be open to it. Just say, yeah, whatever. I want to go all the way. I don't want to be in the second group, if there is one. I don't want to be in the second group. I don't want to be in some tertiary group. I want to be in the first group. Happy is the man that not only trusts in God to do all that, but also who is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's your happiness right there. To be married. Will others be married? I'm sure there are. I really do. I really believe there are. Others will come in later. The foolish virgins, perhaps, that were shut out on the first deal, they could get in later. Maybe they repent during that time or whatever, during the millennium or whatever. Some of the Jews who, you know, weren't ready, they could get in because they tried to do it by works instead of by faith. You have to go all the way back to this Abrahamic covenant. God's never going to change his mind. That's an eternal covenant. Eternal, not just temporal. It doesn't just cover the millennium. It covers everything after it as well. But that promise there, if you can divide it any way you want. Well, I want this part but not that part. You can do that. I wouldn't. I'd recommend that everybody here go all the way. Amen? Amen? So if you could just simply say, God, I don't even know what all you're talking about, but do it. Go for it. You have my complete permission. I don't care what furnace you send me through, what troubles you pile on me. I trust you. I believe I can always give a good report. So I could give a bad report. I could say that, you know, David and Janet's baby right now is in deep trouble, but I'm going to put a comma after it. And I'm always going to say this, but God, I don't care what the doctors have said. That's bad news. But I can tell you, comma, but God has the last word. That was the prayer that Larry prayed. That last word is so important that God's the one that decides everything. So we believe that little girl can walk. We don't care how it turns out because it'll be good. But it's wrong not to pray as high as you know how. Don't pray, you know, well, if it's your will, do it. You know, don't pray like that. The reason he told you is because he's not the author of sick. That's not his deal. Well, he's probably going to teach him something. And he's not teaching him something. He already taught Jesus Christ everything he wants to teach. And his is only thank you, praise you, and adore you. Not you got to be taught something. Well, there's probably sin here, sin there. There are scriptures about this. Don't figure out who sinned. Don't figure out what's wrong. That's another whole issue, but has nothing to do with God being kind and good to anybody, anytime, whether you're a believer or a not believer, or you're mature or immature, whether you're this or you're that. It's irrelevant. Our God is good.
Yeah.
He wants to give everybody access to the table, everybody to eat of Him. Never be afraid again. All right, who would like to say that? I'll never be afraid again. It's good. It's powerful. Don't be afraid. Why? Perfect love. Whose? His, not yours. His perfect love casts out all fear. I don't want to have any fear ever again, ever. Is that possible? Yeah. Why? Because He said it is. He said that. I didn't write that. He did. So whatever He said, it's mine. Did you know that the revealed things belong to man? The hidden things belong to God. I don't know. I'll tell you, whatever is hidden, it's really good for you. Whatever is hidden, it's even better than what you can imagine. Sometimes, you know, I used to give presents like this. I'd give a real awful little present to somebody and wrap it up in newspaper or something. And they'd open it up, not sure what it is, because Dad does stupid stuff like that. They open it up, and it's okay. Well, thank you, Dad. But I hid away something else. And I just took it as though that was it, you know. Probably I didn't know if you wanted that or not. And, you know, it's awful. I'm an awful person. But anyway, I'm having so much fun because I know I got a better present that it's exactly what they want, but it's hidden. Every Christmas, I think of something new to trick them. And so sometimes they don't get anything, and they're just always, Dad, did you forget? Forget what? Are you all having fun in this world? Did you know that you can actually be yourself in this world and God still loves you? The only thing He doesn't love is someone who's trying to be something that they're not. Just be what you are. If you're a jerk, you're a jerk. How many jerks do we have? Oh, good. Praise God. Praise God. I would agree with everyone. That's good. And you can be hypocritical and, you know, judgmental. That's okay. God does not hate hypocritical and judgmental people. I don't care what you've read in the Bible. God does not hate any sinner. He does not take pleasure in the death of any sinner. Not one. Don't care how much bad you've done. He still loves you. We've had some bad people in our day. Amen? Created, conceived in the image and likeness of God originally, and He'll never take that away. And he will provide His own Son's death before yours to make sure that you have that hope, that possibility, that freedom to be set free forever and ever. What a good God we serve. Amen. Hope you enjoyed this one today. This is the Son of the Most High God. Hallelujah. The Son of God in the form of Son of Man coming here to serve you, to give you everything so that you might have a festival season, give away. Let's say you make a mistake. It's okay. He'll cover it. He'll cover it. God, I messed up again. It's okay. Jim, I know that. Oh, yeah. Okay. He still will cover everything you do. He still loves you. You lose your reputation. You lose your health. You lose your wealth. You lose your, you know, whatever, relationships. So what? It's not the end of the world. I'm sorry. You thought, you know why you lost that relationship? Because you tried to control it. You tried to control that relationship. That's why you lose it. I'm not saying it's a exact thing. I'm just simply saying, let go. Let God. If God gives you a relationship, you can mess up all day long. You can't lose it. I will never turn on anybody. I don't care how wicked you are. And some of you are really good. But I don't care how wicked you are. I'm not turning on anybody. The door's always open. You know, you don't have to stay. You can do whatever you want, come back totally destroyed. It doesn't bother me at all. The day you left, I see you exactly as the same. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's not even a moment's thing. How many know that God loves you so much that He'll turn heaven and earth upside down to bring you home. That's all. That's a good gift. So this present over here of this manger, mangy manger, this manger here is so degrading because there was no room for the Son of God in this world. There's no room. Well, that's okay. God's okay with that because His kingdom's not of this world anyway. But inside there is a gift that's hidden, is a gift that doesn't look like much. Herod will try to kill that baby, can't. And then later, men will try to, beat him and destroy him and kill him. That's the cross behind the manger. And that won't work either. He'll just jump up again because love never quits. Love never gets angry. God is never going to be angry at anybody here. He took it out on Jesus. Whatever anger he had, it's already gone on that cross. Yeah. Now, he doesn't have any anger left unless you choose to believe something that's not true about God. He's a loving Father. Always has been, always will be. Best has been saved to the last. Enjoy yourself today. All right, let's have two testimonies. Okay, let's start with number three then. Who has a testimony? Pastor, this changed me. I now see it. God has opened my eyes. I want to be happy for the rest of my life from here on out. Who else? Yes, Doris. No matter what.
My mechanic said, I told him, like, the angels must have fixed my car. He said, I want you to tell those angels that they're costing me money.
That's good. It's good. Praise God.
Good.
He is good. Who else?
Amen.
Yes. Right.
God protected my wife and the property and my son.
So. Wow. Amen. Praise God. That's powerful. It's powerful. Amen. Debbie.
It's hard. I'm just now kind of grappling with this, but it's so hard to realize what you said initially. But I know it's true because it's awesome. It is too good to be true. But that He knew us and formed us in our mother's womb, yet He knew who we would be, and we sinned, even Adam. But yet He still continued,
yeah.
And He loved us, even in that state.
That's powerful.
And continued with us.
That's so powerful. That's what
we have a destiny in Christ. Formulating it, but to know,
right?
It's not predestination.
It's not
destiny in Christ, knowing
right.
that it's all been orchestrated and perfected.
Correct. Right.
Even though we're not perfect. It's,
right.
It's too big.
Yeah.
It's too good.
Amen. See, that's true predestination. Yeah. Why? Because if He had forced it, then He'd have made the decision. You wouldn't have been free to believe or not to believe. Faith always in a promise of God. So He couldn't then cause you to be double predestinated. You're going to hell. You're going to heaven. He can't do that, even though He knows. So He has to make it that even if you think you are rebellious against God, He's going to make it so that He'll make Christians like us so that when they see our good works, they'll know you didn't do them. They'll glorify your Father in heaven. There's hope for everybody. There is no such thing as hopeless. Not until it's all over. And that's after the white throne judgment, by the way. It has nothing to do with when you die. It has nothing to do with, oh, the person's dead now, it's too late. It's not true. You think it's true, you're wrong. You do not go straight to heaven. You go somewhere else first, and then somewhere else, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot more hope in the Bible than you even know. It's great. So when someone commits suicide, oh, it's the end of them. I don't think that at all. That has nothing to do with anything. Now, you can't pray them out of purgatory and all that kind of nonsense. Nevertheless, God is the one that's going to judge not you. And you don't know anything about their life or anything else. You don't need to, because God's going according to his promise that he doesn't desire the death of any sinner. So once it's over, it's not really over, because there's still more. There's all kinds of things that go on. So you don't need to know the details of all that stuff. It's in there. It's in the Bible. But it's hidden. It's hidden in a way that you'd have to look really hard to find it. But if you did, if you desired to find it, you can find it. It's all there. But God has this all set up for you not to worry your brain about what's going on. He loves you. That's enough. Right there. He's on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. The answer is in the question. Nobody. Nobody can be against you. Satan. Let Satan do whatever he wants. That's a bulldog on one of those, you know, electric fence things or chain or whatever, choker chain. Just when he was about to bite me. He can't. I love that. I love that. I love that idea. That Satan's, and I'm not even turning to look at him. Woo. So, now he's going to turn, because I'm not afraid. Why? Because it can't go wrong. Why? Because of the Bible. Amen. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So because of that, that's all I need. I don't need certainty in this world. I don't want any security in this world. Could I die today? Sure. Is my plumbing going? Yes. Is gravity taking over my eye things and my chin and, you know, everything? Yes. Is my belly, is it going over the belt? Yes. So it's sunken treasure. I mean, I don't know. Whatever it is, I don't care. You know, I have a God that's so good, I can be like a child. I can go through life like a child. You can be as bright as you can be without just going to get you in trouble. I just read the Bible, that's the end of it. Amen. Tells me that the best has been saved to the last, like any good, you know, cook would do. Save the best to the last. So the best has been prepared for us. You live in the day, I believe, when the Lord will come back. Okay, if he does, he does. If he doesn't, I don't care. I'm okay any way it goes. But I know it's going to be good. But I know a better idea. Forget when it's going to happen. I know, just be ready today. That's the better idea. Will you do it? Probably not, but I don't care. If you don't do it, that's fine. You're free. You're free. But if you need it, and at the last minute you realize maybe your choice was wrong, you can always cry out. He hears you. He hears you. And you don't know that prayer won't be heard in heaven by God, and that'll be your eternal life right there. It's all he's ever wanted. Wouldn't it be good if we were better examples here for our children, for one another, but also for a dying world that's going to perish without any hope because they haven't heard it. That's why you have to tell them. You have to show them. You have to be. Be. You know, being is nothing to do with what you say or do. Being is just being. When Peggy and I used to date, sometimes she would say, well, where are we going? I don't know. You going to take me out or what? I guess so, because I'm an idiot. But I just wanted to be with her. You see what I'm saying? Just be in her presence, not say anything intelligent or anything or romantic or whatever. Just being. That's the way God is. He just wants you to be with him. He desperately wants that, but he won't force it. He will not force that. So whatever you want, whosoever will, whatever you want, whosoever will, may come. There's no one can block you. All right, God is good. God is great. Amen. Paul. Merry Christmas.